How's everyone doing?
Doing good. Sean, do you think there's some similarities between the way you and the Falcons have kind of built the defense over the last couple of years?
Well, I would say in the selection of players, yes. And, you know, identifying guys that you think fit what you want to do, yes. I think there's some differences in the type of defenses that we play. But just from the standpoint of bringing in younger players that fit, you know, a vision of what you're wanting to do with, clearly they've done a great job of that. We're trying to get to that point. You with me? I mean, in other words, we've begun to hit on some players that we think hopefully will play and play a long time here. I think Dan and his staff and those guys, you know, their rise to the Super Bowl last year was built on, you know, a lot of good selections, a lot of good decisions in player evaluation, and obviously real good coaching.
Sean, what are your thoughts on Julio Jones this year? Obviously, he's a pretty good receiver every year, but what are your thoughts on him this year?
I think he's right at the top. You know, I heard someone debating between he and Brown at Pittsburgh. They're two different type players. He's outstanding. You know, his strength, his explosion, his catch radius. I've said this before, when you're sitting down the sidelines and, you know, all of a sudden he splits out to your sideline and you look at him, it's amazing how quickly he moves. I think he loves playing. I think Sanu is someone that's probably not talked about enough, but he's another player that I think has helped that team tremendously. He's tough. He competes. He blocks at the point of attack. You know, he'll catch balls inside and outside. And yeah, I think he's got extremely strong hands in traffic.
Just in terms of greatest catches you've ever seen, do you think Julio's name would pop up?
It's on the reel. I don't know how long the reel is, but it's on it.
Sean, Cam Jordan already has a career high for passes defense. I mean, how have you seen him, you know, add that element to his game or improve it during his career?
Well, I think he's got good instincts, Josh, and I think he's someone, you know, our game has changed enough to where these quarterbacks are in rhythm and timing, and, you know, if I can't rush and get there with a sack, but I can rush and feel the cock of the release and the delivery, that becomes pretty consistent with these guys. And so much like the cadence, I deal with the cadence first, my pass rush, and then here goes that secondary movement here. You know, that's important. You've seen him do that and tip it and catch it at Pittsburgh. We saw him do that at Detroit. You know, there's certain downs and distances anymore. When you get to 3rd and 18 or 16, there's three or four plays you're going to see. These wide receiver screens, you're going to see the halfback slow screen, you're going to see these X and Z block for H screens, shallows. And so they get smart enough to where they understand the ball's coming out earlier than they can get there, and it's coming out at a trajectory that's a little lower. And I think that's significant. But it's a tribute. You know, you got to work at that, and that's not easy.
You know, he made a comment yesterday about triple-doubles. Did you see that? Sacks, tackles for loss, passes, defense. I wondered what you thought of the basketball analogy for him and how it kind of illustrates his abilities.
Usually when I hear him say triple-double, I'm thinking steak and shake. So I've not heard him talk of his triple-double. He came up with that?
Yeah, because he already has 10 sacks and 13 tackles for losses, and he's approaching 10 passes defense, and he just thought that would be, you know.
There you go. I like it.
But do you think it speaks to his – I mean, you don't normally, when you think of a triple-double, you not only think of someone who's talented.
I would say this with Cam, and this I've said all along, his stamina – is one of his greatest strengths. His ability to play a down, at a high rate, you know, with a lot of energy, and then kind of recover, because, you know, we have these, they're really 4 second, 5 second downs, you know, when you get 20 seconds, and then you get another 4 second, 5 second, and then you get 20 seconds. And he, his stamina and his ability to play, like play 61 as he's played, play 18 or play 3 is very remarkable, unique, I would say, for his position. And that's a credit to him.
Sean, did he take sort of force his way, you know, onto this active roster, you know, for the foreseeable future?
Well, with his performance, yeah. But look, he's each week we'll see where we're at with our numbers. But hard to take that off, you know what I mean? It's hard to take that off when you got size and speed that can run and do what he did.
Is it surprising to you to see multiple times in the league a star offensive player taking a shot at a defensive guy after the whistle, like it's happened a couple times, once in one of your games and last week?
Last week? I'm missing last week.
Gronkowski on Tredavious White.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, in both those cases, it's very out of character for the players, and I mean that they're good guys. I mean, it's just surprising, and sometimes it's frustration, and
it's happening,
yeah,
right,
so
now.
You don't like to see that, and you're always talking about, you know, keeping the poise and understanding the big picture is winning the game, and you know, learning, part of that is mental toughness. You know, you don't have to respond and be macho. You know, so many times I hear, well, I'm not going to be punked, and I get that. And yet, listen, there's a discipline element that you're preaching as coaches, and you're trying to make them understand the big picture, which is winning, and all these side things that can take you down a path contrary to the goal. And you know, I think that's one of the things you learn about playing football. And, you know, it doesn't happen. I mean, it happens to Mike Evans. That was surprising. You know, he's poised, smart, and someone well-respected. And I think Gronk in his own right is that way. And so it certainly means that at any time it could happen. And you're just talking about the discipline of, you know, staying up sometimes. I think one of the harder situations, you guys see the player get tackled and the whistles are blowing, and it's like, man, we didn't get to put this player on the ground. Do you know the play I'm talking about? It happens every weekend. We have him wrapped up, and every time that happens, I think, man, please do not body slam this guy. You know, in other words, let's have the wherewithal. We just heard the whistle. He's down. But it's like you didn't get to feel like you got to finish, and sure enough, each week we see one where someone decides to finish, like, too much, and that's 15 yards and a first down. So, look, that's trying to be smart and trying to help your team.
If you can bear with the basketball analogy here again, with Evans and Gronk, those are both really big guys. Sometimes there's this perception that really big, strong, you know, talented players on offense don't get as many calls. Maybe that builds the frustration level. Do you think that's possible in these cases?
I mean, I don't know if that's behind their deal. I bet you could call them. I don't know if I don't know why. I don't know. I can't think that it's just size related, though. I mean, in other words, you watch Gronk's play, and he feels like, and you can see it, like, gosh dang it, let me, you know, I'm getting held here. And, but that gets, you know, just gets back to the, that happens to all these guys, and it's something we as coaches are constantly working with them on in regards to, you're not going to get the calls. I'm the worst. I'm yelling, you know, and I'm the worst when it comes to feeling like it was just us. One more question, if there is another one. All right, thanks, guys.